Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Sick Puppy.
This is the most reverend Father Spoon.
Coming at you with episode 82 for shouldidrinkthat.com.
Where even if it's crap,
we drink it.
So you don't have to.
That's right, brother.
Now, the show number actually is kind of special to me.
Oh.
And I didn't tell you this ahead of time.
Do tell, my friend, do tell.
Excuse me, I'm also Instagramming while I say this.
I will be doing that as well.
Because that's what I do. So 82 is also the number of my favorite hockey player of all time, Mr. Martin Straka.
Oh, listen to you, Mr. Hockey Boy.
Awesome. The greatest Pittsburgh Penguin ever to live, besides Lemieux and like 25 other people.
I was going to say, it's kind of hard to pick a favorite for you, isn't it?
If those guys never existed, Marty Straka would be the greatest of all time. I'm just putting it out there.
82. Damn, we're almost 90.
We're getting up there in age.
We're almost 90. I don't know what time it is, Spoon, and I'm cold.
Well, you know, it's kind of fitting because AARP keeps sending me shit in the mail.
Oh, my God.
That's and I found out other pathetic. People are getting the same things. It's and I'm on a mailing list for hearing aids, which I could probably use.
What?
Exactly.
You see what I did there?
I did.
Yeah, turned that right around.
Or if you're listening, you hear what you just did?
Yeah, did you hear what I just did? All right, dude, what do we got going on for show 82?
So, Sick Puppy and I both were road tripping.
Well, I was kind of road tripping by proxy, I guess.
See, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you were physically road tripping. I had family elsewhere shopping for me, if you will.
There you go. That's good. Sick Puppy's family was down in Florida, right?
Florida. Three weeks in Florida, and God bless them. They know I'm a beer... I almost said snob. Beer geek? They were, like, calling me every day, every other day, going, hey, we're at this place. Can you get this back in PA? Do you want this? I was like, yes, 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 and yes. Stop yes, calling sir. Me. It's yes to everything.
Just buy me whatever you can get.
Right. If it looks good to you... Well, wait. No, not to them. If it looks weird to you, buy it. I'm probably there's in good shape.
There's a good chance you're probably going to want to have it.
Yeah.
And then last weekend, so I guess Cinco de Mayo, actually, our 6th anniversary.
Yay! Again, on Cinco de Mayo, Cinco de Mayo,
Happy anniversary, princess.
Happy anniversary to you too, honey.
I was at my cousin's wedding in just south of Baltimore.
Oh, I'm so jealous, man. I love Baltimore.
And I got to spend a day in Baltimore, too. So I stocked up on beers. So, but none of these beers are local. The beers are actually ones we can't get in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, which is fine by me, man.
Can I get arrested for that?
Well, technically, yes, but...
But I'm recording this in Maryland.
Where I pay the taxes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also shipping you collectible glassware.
Right, yeah.
So I picked up a few bottles of New Belgium, some of their specialties. Most people know them for Fat Tire.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I've had that one before, and I think you have too, right?
Yeah, it actually tastes a lot like Yingling.
Yingling, yeah. I'm not really impressed with that one.
It's a West Coast Yingling.
Yeah.
it was good to have it once, just to say we tried it. But besides that, I didn't see find anything special about it.
Me neither.
It was okay.
I was very underwhelmed for their reputation on that one.
But I do have to say, when you're on an island and the only place that sells beer or any kind of spirits, I think it was called like Muddy Waters or Mucky something. I didn't have high hopes.
Finding
these beers was like, you know, the heavens opened up and light came down on me. But when I went to buy these beers, my cousin who was with me only drinks Bud.
Oh, dear Lord.
And Mike's Hard Lemonade, apparently. Jeez. I just found that out. But he's also like 6'5", 6'6", and he's like Docs. He's like a meat shield.
Ah.
So I'm not pissing him off.
A large man, yes.
Yes, so yeah, we picked these up, and they had a couple other... They had a lot of wines and stuff in this little store. But I said, I want beer. So I got beer. And then... I do want to say quick, congrats to Becca and Brian for getting married. Thank you for inviting us down. Becca's my cousin. And you guys had probably the best selection of beer at a reception I've ever seen, because there was like 5 Dogfish Heads. Kona Brewing was down there. They had Abita on tap. It was
nice,
awesome.
Man.
So,
yeah,
so that's
always a plus, especially at a wedding reception. Amazing, man. All right, let's start with numero uno here. New Belgium Ranger IPA. He said, I've been looking forward to these because, you know, like I said, I had the Fat Tire and I was kind of underwhelmed. And I heard a lot of good things about their other beers, but we can't get them in PA. So I'm really excited to try these.
Well, I do have to say, I like when I pick up a bottle of beer and the first thing I notice is we use 3 pounds of hops in every barrel.
Yeah, not 3 actual hops like some other large company.
It's not triple hopped. It's the 3-pound hop.
3 pounds of hops per barrel.
So go ahead and open this one
up.
Yeah,
pouring mine out.
And the first thing I noticed right off the bat, as soon as you open this thing, you're going to get a nose full of hops.
I just got over the flu, so that's a bold statement. Wow, you're right. I would agree, sir. Wow, yeah, that is a nose full of aroma hops. Mm. Ooh, 70 IBUs in this. That's pretty respectable, man.
Well, see, that's what surprised me with this, is that it says it's got 70 in it. With 3 pounds of hops, I would expect that number to be a little bit higher. But then again, it all depends on when they add the hops.
Yeah, that's about right. Right. And this is I was kind of surprised at the ABV on this as well. I thought it was going to be a little higher. It's only 6.5%.
Alrighty.
And I'm still a little off on the name of this beer. It just makes me think of weird things. Ranger, well, India Pale Ale, you know, like Stranger Danger, Power Ranger. It's just weird.
Well, being the scientist that I am, and everything I do is for science, I did research.
Did you now?
I did the research.
Do tell, sir.
Now, according to New Belgium, ever met a New Belgium Beer Ranger? Well, no, I haven't. We live in Pennsylvania, really.
I want to be an Air Force Ranger. I want to live the life of... go ahead.
Yeah. There are beloved folks out in the field spanning all 29 of our states. There's more than 29 states, come on.
Of their states. For,
yeah. From the Pacific to the Atlantic, our beer rangers do their best to protect, to pour, and to partake, and explore many a beer from many a brewery they do. Oh, that's nice. Bring out the hops.
Bring out your dead.
I'm not dead yet. I can come back in a week.
See what this beer name's doing to me? It's making me think all kind of crazy shit now. But continue.
This clear amber beauty burst at the starting gate with an abundance of hops. Cascade, Chinook, and Simcoe, 3 of my favorite hops.
Yeah, I mean, you got citrusy there, floral, and fruity.
And, yeah. Let's see, lead off the beer with Cascade added again for an intense dry hop flavor. Brewed with pale and dark caramel malts that harmonize the hop flavor from start to finish. Ranger is a seasonable splendor for all of your hopanistas.
Hopanistas.
Thank you, Beer Ranger.
Beer Ranger, it still sounds weird to me.
So,
however,
this
this is an amazing IPA.
This is exactly how I want my IPA to smell. The floral and the citrus is,
yep.
Chinook.
Giant bonus for me is when you get that nose full of aroma hops, and you know, that's just a damn good beer to me right there.
Mmm. Oh, wow. It is incredibly clear, too. Now, here's something for like a discussion that I was having on Facebook today.
Oh.
I took a picture of the beer that we were drinking last night. Well, the beers that we were doing when we were testing stuff out. And they looked at the Delirium Nocturnum.
Nocturnum, yes.
And someone said, that looks too thick for me. I would never drink that.
That's kind of a misconception. Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, because I told her, I'm like, well, I go, that really has nothing to do with it. Because, and then she goes, well, I only drink Bud Light. And I said, well, that figures because you're stupid. So
fail.
I shouldn't say that, but when you look at this though, like it is very clear.
It's got that caramel malt kind of color to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. People think a lot of IPAs, if they're going to be higher in alcohol or they're going to be, you know, more bitter, that they should be a darker hue to it.
A darker hue. Yeah, I mean, without my little SRM chart. I wouldn't even, you know, pretend to know what the hell range that's in, but I would say mid-range, but our fans don't really care about SRMs, I don't think.
No, and if you do, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, the SRMs, all that means is, you know, it's basically the color or the hue of the beer. You know, like light to dark, different numerical values to each, but
there you go.
It's a nice amber golden color. How's that?
Ah, there you go.
It works for me. I mean, it's not overpowering at all. I mean, would you recommend this to someone for their first IPA? I mean,
that's, no.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
It's too. It's
kind of getting at that.
It's too bitter. It's got too much bite to it for an intro. Now, if you want to know what I think is like a quality IPA, this is what I like.
Totally agree.
But you know, you probably want to start with something a little bit more tamer just to get into the whole style. But this is, I hate when we say this about good beers, but it's a great representation of style. This is what I
this time, right?
Yeah, this is what I expect my IPAs to be like. Is this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know we make fun of that description, but Spoon's spot on. I mean, on a serious note, it is a really good representation of what a IPA should be. But again, you know, that's all up to personal opinion and you know, brewer's recipes and opinions as well.
Oh yeah, it's, you know what, someday when I get out to Fort Collins, Colorado, I want to go check this out. In fact, speaking of this. Here's something else I just found out too.
Uh-oh.
So I posted on Twitter or on Facebook that we have that I got these beers, and my cousin's wife, a different cousin, all the way out in Colorado, said, "You know, there are breweries right down the street from us. If you want us to, and they're coming to visit next month." She's like, "If you need me to bring anything out for you, you just say the word and we'll do it for you." I was like, "You just made the top of the favorite cousins list."
Yeah.
She's like, I didn't know too many of our cousins drank this stuff. I'm like, really? I'm like, then again, I've only seen you, I think, twice. So.
Yeah, right.
Because they live out there.
Yeah, but now you're going to be closer. See, beer brings families together. Craft beer brings families together.
In fact, now here's the SIDT family tree and how she fits in. She is the sister-in-law to intern Nick and the Beer Goddess.
Oh. It's a vicious circle there, isn't it?
Yes, it's intern Nick's brother's wife.
Brothers, sisters, wives, cousins, aunts, uncle, nephew.
And I also believe that she's a Marine, too, and she will kick your ass.
Semper Fi, girl. I come from a family of Marines.
I would never mess with her.
I has respect for her.
Yeah. I think she's military for life, too. But
cool, man.
Anywho.
Cheers, wow, man. This is a great... I mean, this... One thing I do want to say, I think you hit on earlier, maybe that why this shouldn't be like an intro IPA to some people, because, you know, that resiny hop, it's just, it sticks to the roof of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hangs out there for a while. I'm not sure a beginner IPA person would enjoy that.
A beginner? No. A well-seasoned IPA fan?
Oh, I love that. Like, it's just hops
sticking in your mouth. If you don't like hops, get the hell away from it. This ranks up there with my favorite of all time is the Southern Tier and Filtered Gemini.
Yeah, that's, I would also compare it to that. You're right.
But that's the thing is, since it's the unblended, it's actually a mixture of two different beers.
Right. Yeah.
So straight up IPA, I think this is like the best brewed of what I think an IPA should be.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, without
I like
you
very, very much.
Without doing a bunch side by side, you know, I would have to agree. It's just really well done, man.
Now, see, our viewers at home, or our listeners.
Listeners at home?
Can't see what I'm doing right now, but look, I'm in the World Beer Cup.
he's being a snob.
I've got my glasses pushed down on my nose, and I'm holding it up to the light to look around. I feel like I should be chewing on a pencil, too.
It tastes like celery.
Hey, boobs. Breasts.
Boobs are neat. Oh my god, that's good.
Yeah, this is a fantastic beer. Wow.
But yeah, I highly recommend this one if you can get it. I know I'm, you know, all the PA peeps. You're kind of shit out of luck unless you mail order it, I suppose, or have family out of state. I hate to say.
Now, speaking of good beer, and getting it in your hands. You see what I just did there? Bad segue.
I did, yeah, I saw that.
We have some friends of ours that are using a unique way to open a brewery.
Yes. Let's talk about the shoe brew.
The shoe brew. If the shoe fits, well,
drink it. That's right.
So basically what Shoe Brew is, it's a young couple out in Cranberry-ish, Cranberry-ish area, Seven Fields.
Yeah, Seven Fields, yeah.
That area. And they want to open a brewery.
Zach and Erica Shoemaker.
So they went to Kickstarter, which seems to be like the de facto place to go for raising money now.
Right on.
And their goal is to raise $25,000 by Friday, June 22nd.
We got 41 days to go, man.
And currently, it's as of the time we're recording this, they have $3,860 or $3,860.
Mm-hmm. They got about
from 36 backers, yep, which include us. I'm very iffy on supporting startup breweries on Kickstarter if I've never had their beer.
Exactly.
I've had their beer. It's good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very good.
They brew really excellent beers, man.
And also on the page, which we will have a link to it.
Oh, definitely.
So you can find out all the information. They have this really great video that explains everything. And you could really see Zach's his passion. And you know, his dedication to this, and it, you know, when you have your wife or your husband or your significant other on board with you for something like this, it's only good things are going
to
happen from.
Yeah, and they're really great people. I mean, I'm proud to call them friends. You know, they're just really amazing people, and you know, it kind of encompasses more than just beer. They really want to support the local community as far as you know the food and everything, and all the ingredients. They really want to focus on good food with good beer as well.
And see, here's the other thing too. You don't have to be a Dogfish Head or a Stone to be successful when it comes to craft beer.
Hey, they all started out small.
Yeah, well, yeah, they all start out small, but as long as you've got a fan base and you've got customers that are local, you've got a successful business going on.
Oh yeah, and I
think back to the
you do as well. I mean, we both support local big time here at SIDT.
Well, you think back to like the late 1800s, early 1900s, you know, pre-prohibition times, you know, there was 100 and some breweries in the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
Or over the years, there have been 100 and some.
Oh, yeah, over time, sure.
Yeah, I think back then, though, you know, there was at least 20, 30, 40 breweries going on. There's just little breweries everywhere, and they all were thriving because there's a demand for it. You know, granted, it's taken us almost 100 years to get back to that point, but
yeah,
or 75 years, whatever.
We had a little trip up back there in the Prohibition times.
Oops.
Oops.
Sorry about that. Here's your hooch.
We shall overcome. But yeah, seriously, go check out Schuber. We'll put the links on the website. Check out the Kickstarter page. Watch their video. Get passionate, you know, about it as we are. And you know, if you can, help them out, man. They really deserve it. And I think they're going to do really good things.
Yeah, one of the things that they had mentioned to me is that the big thing is they want to. I guess, I don't know if it's one of the reasons why they started, but they really want to pair good beer with good food.
Right, right.
And the food was all local, and they're like, what could we do, you know, what could we pair this with? And it's just like, I could brew something, and there you go.
It's kind of like
a
brew pub concept, you know, small brewery, brew pub, eatery concept kind of a thing going on.
And it was good.
Yeah, but like I said, go to the Kickstarter page. There's a lot more detail, a lot more information there than what we're telling you, but it's worth a read. The video is definitely worth a view, and you know, like I said, help them out if you can, man. Like they deserve it.
If you've never used Kickstarter before, it is incredibly easy.
It is
to donate,
especially if you have an Amazon account, which I think everybody on the planet does by now.
What they do is it basically ties into your Yahoo Jesus. Yahoo Jesus, that should be a character.
That sounds like a band.
Yahoo.
We are Yahoo Jesus. Jesus. Good night, Philadelphia.
Good night, Cleveland. Wait, we're not in Cleveland? Turn it to 11.
Oh, my God.
So Amazon is tied into this. So as long as you have an Amazon like login, I was able to go into my account. So it had my credit card already on file there. So I don't have to create a separate login and credit card information for them.
I love that.
It pulls it right from Amazon, and it was like two clicks and I'm done.
Yep.
It was. It's addicting. Easy.
But yeah, I mean, you know, even if you can't donate, or you know, or if you're, you know, not into, you know, the craft beer scene, and you're listening to our show, tell your craft beer friends. Tell everyone you know, man. Just point them towards the website. You know, spread the word. That's a key thing, man. That's what social media and Kickstarter things kind of all about, man. You know, sharing somebody's dream and help them achieve that dream, you know?
That was tasty.
Oh, yeah.
My God, are you ready for the next one?
Amazing beer. Already? Gee, shucks. Maybe. Yes. What do we got next, man? We have...
Nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom.
Good.
Oh, dude, it's that cloying hop flavor in your mouth. Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Ooh, we get to follow it up with kind of a newer style. You know, kind of the people love or hate this. People get pissed about it. I enjoy it. I like it.
I like this style because I can't drink a lot of stouts and porters, so this like helps me get my fix. So next up is the New Belgium 1554 Enlightened Black Ale.
Black Ale. It's not really a black IPA, so I guess that segue doesn't really fit that, but it's going on that black ale trend, you know?
Yeah, it's got a lager yeast in it.
No, do tell. Tell me more, yes. Spoon. Tell us more.
Sit down, kids, and let me tell you a story.
Once upon a time in New Belgium.
Born of a flood and centuries-old Belgian text. 1554 Enlightened Black Ale uses a lager yeast strain and dark chocolatey malts to redefine what dark beer can be. In 1997, that's a long time ago for some of you kids, a Fort Collins flood destroyed the original recipe a researcher found in the library. And I got a sneeze, I think.
Uh-oh.
No. Do I? No, I don't. Okay, I'll carry on.
You're under control. Continue.
So Phil and Brewmaster Pete traveled to Belgium to retrieve this unique style lost to the ages. Their first challenge was deciphering antiquated script and outdated units of measurement. Well, that's gotta suck. But trial and error and many months of in-house sampling culminated in 1554, a highly quaffable dark beer with a moderate body and mouthfeel.
I like that they used the word quaffable.
Quaffable and culminated in the same sentence.
Ooh.
Let's talk
I'm,
about
I'm
that.
I'm impressed. Mouth. They know words.
With friends.
Oh, God. I haven't jumped on that train yet. I don't think I ever will.
All right, let's crack this open.
I can't even bring myself to do the draw something one that everybody's doing.
Oh, I smell chocolate. I smell coffee.
Wow, so do I, brother.
That is
I mean, that's right out of the bottle before I even poured it. That's got a nice, strong aroma to it. I mean, not like a
not
overpowering aroma, but it's definitely prominent.
It kind of looks like an oatmeal stout.
When you say that, as I'm pouring it, it looks a little lighter than that, but I see what you mean once it's in the glass. Yeah. Wow, that thing is carbonated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I noticed that when I was just pouring mine, I was going to tell you that.
I mean, my glass is just laced on the sides with tiny bubbles. Nice.
This is 5.6% ABV, only 20 IBUs.
Hmm. And it's definitely got that coffee smell to it. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is... Oh, man, this just smells...
I know, man. This is
great.
Like two for two. I love a beer I could just pour in a glass and just enjoy the aroma of it. And you just know you're going to have a good time with this beer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh.
Hmm.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. chocolatey.
Yes.
Creamy. Mouthfeel is...
Definitely got coffee.
Yeah.
It does have that creamy mouthfeel, you're right. I mean, not like a cream ale mouthfeel, but, you know, it's subtle.
God damn, this is awesome.
Wow, that is good.
Hmm. This is holy shit. This is good beer.
It almost has like a roasted flavor to it too. You know, that yeah. Almost like I hate to say it because it's not a negative term, but it's almost like burnt toast in a way.
Okay, I see what you mean by burnt toast.
Yeah, but in a good way, not so much. Ooh, that's burnt toast.
Well, it does. Wow. This is what I like about this as compared to a lot of the smoked porters and some of the coffee stouts that we've had,
mm-hmm.
is it's not very overpowering with the chocolate and the roastiness, but it's nice and creamy. It's like it's a perfect balance for somebody like me who can't have a lot of those other beers. Like this
right.
is just...
And you can't have a lot of the milk stouts and the cream stouts and things like that, right? Is that why you say that, or
you know, or everybody knows I'm lactose intolerant,
yeah.
So I'm going to just get the fart busting ass jokes out of the way right now.
I wasn't even going to go there, man.
Well, no, because like Coon Cat or somebody's going to bring it up in the show in the comment section, anyways. Dick.
I mean,
but
I mean, a black ale, I guess, could still be considered a black IPA, or you know, the proper term that everybody bitches about. It should be called a Cascadian Dark Ale because of the region it was invented in. Shut the hell up.
Shut
black
up,
IPA
yeah.
or, you know, black ale. You know, and I guess the style range for this can go from like a dark brown to a pitch black, malty, you know, and like a light to moderate roasty note. And I think that's where I was getting at earlier when I said burnt toast. It kind of reminds me of, you know, that moderate roasty, if you will.
Yeah, but it's very smooth. Very, it's got a nice like creamy mouthfeel to it. It's good. I don't know how the hell to tell you about it.
Yeah, and I like the fact that both of these are pretty much, you know, maybe a little bit higher, but they're sessionable beers.
Wait, 5.6 is
Yeah, I would call that, especially for us, at least me, sessionable.
This is probably the bottom of sessionable for us. The
6.5 yeah, probably. Nothing wrong with that, brother. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, here's one other thing I really dig with New Belgium's website, which is newbelgium.com. For each of the beers, they have food pairings, and they have like their own like little recipe-ish, like what they would serve with it. And to go with this one, I'm not sold on what they suggest here, but so I might have to try it. A blue cheese crusted filet on roasted garlic, mashed potatoes, grilled asparagus.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing! Actually, dude. Awesome.
That is like
blue cheese in this. I get that.
But it doesn't go into detail on if it's creamy blue cheese or if it's like the broken solid
blue cheese. I'm guessing it's the broken solid blue cheese, I would assume, yeah.
Well, yeah, it would have to be, yeah, because it's crusted. What the fuck am I thinking?
Ooh, first F-bomb. Crusted. Hey!
Hey.
Spoon dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
I mean, even the one they have on the very bottom of the page, Spoon, cherry portobello mushroom barbecue with baby red potatoes.
I want that.
Oh, my God, that sounds amazing.
Because I'm addicted to mushrooms, so that would just be...
Portobellos are great. Yeah, sheep head are amazing. No, well, not actual sheep head, but, you know, the mushroom sheep head.
Oh, man. Cherry barbecue sauce.
Yeah, now we're getting hungry, man. Hope we're making the fans hungry, too. We'll be driving down the road listening to the show. Damn it, now I need some blue cheese.
Damn you assholes.
Must stop at Whole Foods now, you sons of bitches. Oh, speaking of Whole Foods, in the Pittsburgh area, especially up north where the puppy is, or even in between, we got a Whole Foods in Wexford, Pennsylvania, right off of Route 19, and they have a pub. It's actually really cool. It's not just a pub. It's a coffee house and a pub, so you can do both or either or.
A coffee house and a pub?
Yeah, they got all this like gourmet roasted coffees and stuff there, and 10 beers on tap. They have half growlers, full growlers. And I was there for the opening day. My God, the beers are cheap. And they had some really good stuff. And the reason I really want to pimp them, I know people say, oh, that's Whole Foods, whatever, blah, 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 blah. They really support local. And they had a lot of local beers here in Pittsburgh area on tap. And like East End and Full Pint and Helltown and All Saints are all on tap. And it's just a really cool little... I mean, it's small. It kind of around the first thing I thought of, you know, at least for us older folks, back in the days of the airports, but when you could smoke indoors, they had those, you know, like little small like smoking rooms that people like herd into like cattle. Yeah. You see everybody in there behind the glass, all huddled together, smoking, big Cheech and Chong thing out the door. It's kind of that small. I mean, it's not like cramped small. It just kind of reminded me of that because you go in this, you know, there's glass around it, and you walk in the main door, but. With that said, though, don't let that discourage you because their beer policy is pretty open. I mean, the only thing you can't do is walk around and shop and have a beer. Or, oh, and by the way, they also have wine there as well, so you can get a glass of wine there. But you just can't walk around with your shopping cart and drink. They have a gigantic patio area outside. You can bring your beer out there, drink it at a table out in the patio. Anywhere they sell like the prepared foods, you can sit down anywhere in there, drink your beer, eat their food. They got a menu at the little pub, or you can bring anything, you know, from the prepared food section into the pub. It's just a really overall cool scene, man. I like it a lot. So I hope they do well. And they have a bottle shop. They're a little freezer or like a freezer section, like a cooler section you walk into. It's kind of cramped, kind of small, but. They got really good prices and a really damn good selection, man. And, you know, for up north, it's a good thing. So I wish them the best, and maybe we'll do a show there soon near future.
Here's what I wonder then, because you said that the prices were really cheap. Cheap as in compared to...
Well, here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, Spoon. I think, and I kind of compared it to our, you know, market district beer that we have now in our Giant Eagle grocery stores.
Okay.
That was our opening day. I'm going to have to go back and then you can ask me again because I don't know if they were undercutting just to, you know, because they were opening up.
On there? Yeah.
Yeah. But they were on average, I would say, for four packs and six packs, not overall, but I'd say on average, about a dollar or two cheaper per four-pack or six-pack than even Market District is.
Really?
Yes. However, they have a bottle section. And what did you pay for the Lavery beers at Market District?
Market District, they were, depending on the bottle, the his new seasonal that just came out, that long French one that I can't pronounce right now off the top of my head.
Yes, I had that same one, so that's a good example. Mine was $8 and some change.
That was $4.99.
Yeah, see? That's where, you know.
Okay.
It's all the purchasing power there, I guess, but, you know.
On average, his beers, well, I think $4.99 was a typo, honestly, especially from Giant Eagle.
Yeah, this is the new one that came out, and forgive me, Jason, if you're listening, it's a really weird name. It's your Farmhouse Ale, the one I bought.
Yeah.
But
he said it to me, and for the life of me,
I know.
I suck at French. I took three years off.
Yeah, that's why I can't remember it off the top of my head either. But, you know, we'll make amends to that. We'll maybe put it in the show notes just to make up for it.
for his us other being beers, stupid. His other beers on average are $8.99 that I've seen at Market District, and then the swing top bottles are $16.99.
Yeah, that's different. They're bigger bottles, yeah.
32 ounces.
But we might be on par, you know, with the... I think we were drinking the same beer. A little funny story about the Whole Foods on opening day. Mm-hmm. 10 beers on tap. One of them was Straub. If you don't know Straub, they're local. So not Pittsburgh local, but, you know, Pennsylvania local, about the middle of the state. But what I found was funny, I mean, they were, like, you know, selling half growlers and you know, the full 64-ounce growlers, you know, dirt cheap that day because it was opening day. And literally that first day, you could walk in there and you get two growlers, empty growlers, for free. Great deal. I'm glad I was there for that.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it was
That's
killer.
That's great, especially if you just wanted to pick up, just to get a growler to see you have one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's brilliant marketing, man. You're going to come back with that Whole Foods growler. But I got there about after work. It was like 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock maybe. And I look up, and there's one scratched out already. I'm like, son of a bitch. And I look up, it's Straub, it's scratched out. I'm like, why the hell would that sell out first? Then I looked at the prices for Straub. The 32-ounce, you know, half growler was $3. And the 64-ounce Straub was $6. People are like, I'll take that, damn it. No wonder it sold out. I was howling.
Well, they probably just want to get rid of it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I got, you know, our local boy, Scott Smith. God bless him, and we need to do a show with you. I'm sorry, Scott. I got a half growler of his Blackstrap Stout for $8.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, hell yeah. And any time that Scott, you know, I see his beers for East End Brewing Company up here in the north, I get all giddy. That means I don't have to drive down to his brewery to pick, you know, some up. So anytime you can bring his damn kegs up north, do it.
Well, Scott actually asked us a question that he wants us to ask all of you listening.
Did you like that segue? Did you like
that? I did.
I did that on purpose. See
what happens when we do show notes ahead of time?
Hey! And then we read them, you know, like an hour before the show. It works out great.
This is great. So what we've started doing on Twitter and Facebook is before we record a show, we ask you guys, what do you want us to talk about? You know, some little lighthearted conversations in between.
Sure.
And Scott Smith actually from East End said, guys, I need you to ask you guys a question and ask your fans because I want to know. And this is Scott's question.
Yeah, so don't answer just for us. Answer for Scott as well. Hit him up on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and or through us.
Read in the voice of James Earl Jones.
Please what do. Is,
I can do this without laughing now. What exactly is the charm of the fancy metal-handled swing top 1 liter growlers, jugs, that cost $15 or more, empty? I don't get it.
That was close. I'll give you that.
Luke, I am your father.
I was thinking the Conan movie, trying to match it up with what you were saying, but it didn't quite work that way.
Scott, I am your brewer.
Wow.
So yeah, his question was, you know, what is the charm of the fancy metal handled swing top 1 liter growlers?
You know, and I have to chime in here because I have one of those fancy big metal handled you know.
They're just neat.
They're just, yeah, they look cool, you know. And, you know, as a home brewer, I would rather put my home brew in one of those than the, you know, the...
Just the jug.
The jug, the thinner glass jugs. But, I mean, that's a side issue. That shouldn't even matter, you know, with his question. That's kind of irrelevant. I just think, you know, I don't have a lot of them. I got one. I got it once. Would I buy another one? No. Hell no. Some of them are... He was generous at $15 spoon. Some of them are $40. Some are 30.
My thoughts are everybody should own one really good beer glass and one really kick-ass growler.
Oh, I love the one from Heavy Seas, the black one with the spikes on the handle. But that motherfucker is $60, dude. I'm like,
And they did not have any when I went down to Heavy Seas Ale House.
The only way you get me to buy one of them, which will probably happen in August, because from what I'm about to say, because I go to Baltimore every August. The only way you'll get to buy me one of them is the same reason I bought that gigantic bottle of Double Bastard that we drank last year.
Because you're drunk?
Because I was drunk. And then I'm not going to... Let's just fucking give me it. Put it on my tab.
That's the way that I see it, too. It's something that I think everybody should have, at least one really kick-ass growler, because you want that to, like... Especially if you're a home brewer and you have friends over, that's what you want to serve them out of.
All pretty...
Yeah, just because it adds to the whole ambiance of if your friends aren't like craft beer fans, but they're trying to learn about it,
yeah.
And you show up with your beer in this big fucking Viking head growler, your
Although
friends are going to go,
say,
that's badass.
In Scott's defense, they make like taps for them growlers. That's a bit much. You pop the top off, you stick this thing down inside, it's got this big metal tube like a tap, and it's got this turkey baster pump to it. Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
Pick it up and pour the damn thing, you idiot. Yeah.
But it's they're cool, but I wouldn't own more than one of them.
Yeah,
so
right.
Scott,
it's nice.
Hopefully you like that answer. Everybody, go to our...
Yeah, please chime in. I'd love to see the group response to that.
Either on facebook.com/shouldidrinkthat or on our website, shouldidrinkthat.com. Look for episode 82 and leave it in the comments. Let us know what you think about that because it's kind of a neat discussion, actually, to see why people buy the things that they buy.
Yeah, I mean, is it an impulse buy? Like, pretty much that's how it was for me. I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay.
And better yet, what we'll do is, here's what we'd like to see you do. Post on our wall on Facebook the picture of your, if you have one of these growlers.
That's an awesome idea. I'd love to see your growlers.
Yeah. We want to see it. If you're not on Facebook, well, I think everybody is. My mom's trying to get on it.
Show us pictures of your fancy, fancy growlers.
Tag us in some photos or post them on our wall. Or if you're on Twitter, just send it to us at SIDT. And let us know, because we really want to see them. I want to see your growler collection. And I'll tell you what, for the coolest growler, we'll send you some prizes.
Ooh.
I don't know what yet, because I haven't been in my basement. Yeah, I just thought of this.
I can't win, can I? Because I have some really cool growlers. I have, like, a handmade one.
I think of stuff like this on the fly, because this is what I do. it's my job.
Excuse me. Sorry. Sorry about the coughing, and like I said. Just
I'll
go
tell
over
you,
to flu. I'm a little phlegmy.
I think I have a Dogfish Head T-shirt somewhere.
Oh, very nice.
Upstairs. But it might be a large. I don't know. We'll figure something out for you. I'll tell you what. The quality of the prize will depend on how cool your grandma
is.
There
you go. Yeah.
You like that? All right.
If we get extremely jealous of your growler, then you might get a good prize, man.
You might actually get Sick Puppy showing up to your house.
That's not really a prize. That's a restraining order.
Let me see it firsthand. Spoon, punch him.
Good Lord.
Mm.
Yeah, that's amazing. Right. Are you done with yours, man?
Yes, I just finished it.
With all that witty banter?
Yes, that's why we do witty banter, so we can do that.
Let's go on a little rant, shall we, while I finish this one?
If you got a rant.
Well, I think it needs to be discussed. It's the whole BrewDog snub by Diageo or Diego. How the hell do you say that?
Diageo.
Diageo. Yeah, that kind of angers me. But you know, it's the big boys, you know, strong arming, and it just pisses me off.
For those of you who are unfamiliar,
yeah, please explain, because I think my anger.
So, this is the news that we're getting from the BrewDog website. So, you know, we hold them accountable for all the information. and odds have it, they're probably not held accountable for very much.
Yeah, right.
So, the 2012 Scotland Annual Awards, celebrating success in the licensed trade in Scotland, was having its award show. And basically, BrewDog was expected to walk away with Best Bar Operator of the Year. Everyone figured it, and nobody had any questions about it. And, you know, BrewDog showed up to win the award. Well, something happened. They didn't win. Not only did they not win, but their name was scratched off the trophy. Or the award, whatever they give.
Right, right.
Scotland. It was scratched off. And they were pretty much dumbfounded. Like, well, what the fuck happened? So it came out later. BrewDog got a call from Kenny Mitchell, who's the chairman of the, I want to say the BII, or BI squared, we'll call him. because we're American and we can do shit like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And he's also the chairman of the award committee, and he was explaining the situation. Here's his direct quote, and this is available on the BrewDog website, by the way.
I'm sure they put it up there, dude. Yeah, hell yeah.
"We are all ashamed and embarrassed about what happened. The awards have been an independent process, and BrewDog were the clear winner. Diageo, the main sponsor, approached us at the start of the meal and said under no circumstances could the award be given to BrewDog. They said if this happened, they would pull their sponsorship from all future BI squared events, and their representatives would not present any awards on the evening. We were as gobsmacked, G-O-B, smacked, as you by Diageo's behavior. We made the wrong decision under extreme pressure. We should have stuck to our guns and given the award to BrewDog." So, folks, this would be like...
It's like a fixed election, pretty much. You know what I mean? Let's host an event and sponsor it and win.
Basically, that's what it's coming down to.
And
BrewDog thanks Kenny Mitchell and the group for being honest. And honestly, when you think about the situation, too, you're hosting this event, you're about to kick it off, and your main sponsor says, "We're pulling everything out," you kind of have to give in almost if you don't have a backup plan.
Sure, but...
Because
dude,
it's a national event with... It's one of those situations where, like, okay, we need to fix this now because everyone's about to leave. And if that leaves and this is a failure, then this is going to look bad.
They already got bad press for it, so.
Well, BrewDog took it to the internet, which they do best.
Yeah, and, you know, if that – before we even continue, let me just interject here and make a point. If that pisses you off like it pisses us off, and you think that company, you know, is an asshole for doing that, let me give you a rundown of the beers that they distribute. Guinness, Harp Lager, Kilkenny, Smittix, Tusker Lager, Red Stripe, Senator Keg, Windhoek, Bell, Serengeti, and Guinness Foreign Extras. Oh, and there's one more, Meta, which is, I have no idea where that beer's distributed, but...
And they're not just beer, either.
Well, yeah, they're spirits too, but I'm talking in the beer community at least, yeah.
But let me tell you some of the spirits that most of us know.
Yeah.
Crown Royal, Johnny Walker, J&B, yeah, Smirnoff, Kettle One, Bailey's, Captain Morgan, Jose Cuervo, and Tanqueray.
Jose Cuervo, too. Wow. No, thank you, sir.
So basically, the big boys came in,
the big
they were going to push people around, and this is completely blowing up in Diageo's face.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the long run, they're too big for their britches. I think it's really going to hurt them anyway, you know? Most people will give a shit.
And honestly, it might deter, you know, a few people from buying their products, which, whatever. Because bars are still going to buy their stuff.
Yep.
Or whatever. and whatnot. But there was an update that was posted since we actually started the show notes, which I want to read.
Oh, really? Since we started the notes? Damn, that was quick.
Diageo have admitted guilt and now have issued the following statement. There was a serious misjudgment by Diageo staff at the awards dinner on Sunday evening in relation to the Bar Operator of the Year Award. We would like to apologize to BrewDog and to the British Institute of Innkeeping. Ah, that's what BI2 means. Okay. For this error of judgment.
Error of judgment, yeah. Error of judgment is a politically correct way of saying, we got caught.
Oops. Oops, I did it again.
Ha! Wow.
So anyways, people, you could go onto the BrewDog website and just voice your opinion. I mean,
and we'll post a link to that as well, so you don't have to dig for it.
And you know what? It's good for BrewDog to stick it to them and just say, hey, everybody, here's what happened.
Right. And I think, if you look at the big picture, Spoon, aside from all the hate, I think it's actually good for both sides because it's bringing attention to all their products to everyone who's reading about it.
Yeah.
So.
It goes to show, dumbasses are still going to buy it no matter what. Diageo products.
And, especially their hard liquor products, dude. They're so ingrained in American culture that, you can't boycott this shit. That's never going to happen.
It's like if there's a homebrewing competition that's sponsored by Shock Top. And which would never happen, but
if it does, I'm burning the tent down myself.
And they stop and say, you know what? If Dogfish Head is given an award, we're walking.
Yeah, it's the same idea, man. It's ridiculous.
Now, craft beer fans would be like, we don't give a shit. The kids of the MTV generation that would get upset if Nicki Minaj or any of these other freaks, can't perform, they might care.
Yeah.
But then they could go drink their Click vodka and, huff paint and do whatever else they do.
I have some Click vodka and some Krylon. It's going to be
I've
a
never
party.
Even had Click vodka. I saw Click come up on one of the pages. That might even be a local vodka. I don't even know. I don't drink vodka. I don't give a shit.
I don't either.
So, anyways.
All vodka tastes the same to me. If you're a vodka person, I apologize. It just tastes all the same to me.
Unless it comes in a skull bottle.
Yeah. I'm kind of proud of that, but I bought that crystal skull thing, and then when I finished the fifth, I filled it with water and red food coloring, put a light underneath it.
Hey, my kid liked it.
Yeah. Now it rocks.
So, yeah, would you like to rant a little bit about them, or are you good?
I'm good, man. I think I've ranted enough. I think I am gold on that subject, man. I think we made our point, right?
Yes.
And we'll let the listeners decide on that one.
Also curious what you think. Leave us comments on Facebook or...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, do you guys actually give a shit? I'd like to know. I mean, do you care enough, about your craft beer and the craft beer industry to say something? Boycott this or that, or you just don't give a shit?
Well, I mean, I understand BrewDog's perspective because they bust their ass. And then
definitely, dude. Dude, BrewDog is not in the wrong in this at all.
No.
But, is it a crybaby, irrelevant thing to the consumer? I don't know.
All right, so our next beverage...
Oh, yeah.
Are we going right in line here?
Yeah, we're actually leaving the new Belgium location. And we're going from the Midwest to the South right now.
To the South.
And I wanted to start off with, one of my family got me that it's actually like a local, Florida brewery. Not a big conglomerate or anything. And I know that, in the craft beer community, everybody says, Florida's kind of a barren wasteland for craft beer. But in the Tampa area and the surrounding cities, where my family was in that 3 weeks, they were all over the place, or even around Tampa. They kept driving by all these little tiny brew pubs that were everywhere. And like, did you ever hear this place? I'm like, nope. Did you ever hear this place? Nope. Did you ever hear this place? Nope. There's like little community brew pubs everywhere down there. And the one that they actually brought back for us is Florida Beer Swamp Ape IPA.
10%.
10%. You know, I was researching this beer spoon, and I don't really have high hopes, I'm going to be honest. I
The
mean,
party's about to kick.
the label is quite metal. I dig it. It's got that Chupacabra Swamp Ape thing going on. But man, I don't know, dude.
I'm
It's
pouring mine right now.
it, yeah, I gotta crack mine open. It's like he said, it's 10%, 85 IBUs. So, you know, from what I've read, the people that don't like it, I'm gonna, at least in my head for now, compare this to like a Dogfish 120 maybe, but not quite as much, you know, along that same line.
I'm gonna warn you, it foams up like a mofo.
Oh, great. I'm pouring mine in a Duvel glass. That'll help. Not so much.
Wow, that is beautiful amber color.
Oh, that is nice. Oh, dude,
Yeah,
the
nice.
hop aroma on this is almost offensive in a good way. Holy shit.
It's got a nice collar of foam on it.
But you know what? You know what I smell, though, dude? That I'm not.
It smells like candy.
I smell boozy. I smell boozy.
Yeah.
Now I get what people are saying is kind of Dogfish 120, really boozy. But I mean, before we even try this, and you know, I did say something negative right off the bat, but let me kind of describe this beer, you know, in their words as well. It's an Imperial India Pale Ale, and the fresh and lively hop character is derived from using five distinct varieties of hops. So they got Tettnang in here, Centennial, Chinook, Cascade, and Amarillo. So, you know, they're claiming that intense hop bitterness, flavor, and aroma balanced by complex alcohol flavors. When you word it that
Whoa.
way, is that a marketing term for, yeah, it's a bit too boozy? I don't know. And that's why I want to find out. Moderate fruity esters and a medium malt character from the balance of two row, Europe, and cherry wood smoked. So, you ready for this, man?
See,
I'm kind of intrigued. This is a beer that I'll probably never get again, you know?
this is why we're scientists.
Yeah, this is why you listen to shit I drink that. We drink it so you don't have to, right? But again,
Science.
science. This beer blinded me with science. Oh, just see, it smells hoppy as hell. Kind of got that Dogfish 120 kind of reminiscence to it, but it is ten.
Oh,
Oh, that's boozy.
my God, is that boozy? Oh,
Holy shit.
holy fuck!
I think
Oh,
I took a huge gulp of it. I think this is, again, along the lines of Dogfish 120. It doesn't compare, but I think this is a sipper.
this is
It's boozy.
oh.
Boozy and hoppy. Boozy, hoppy, boozy, hoppy, boozy, hoppy. That's about all I can say about this beer.
Blithering idiotish.
Ah, it's got that twang to it. You're right.
Was Blithering Idiot the one I'm thinking of?
Well, you know, what is a swamp ape anyway? First-hand accounts describe an intense beast with a potent aroma and bite, proof that the elusive mystery monster exists, or proof that that brewing with five distinct varieties of hops creates an unbelievable, relentlessly hopped
Yeah, these.
India Pale Ale. One taste and you'll know swamp ape is real. That's
Like
their marketing
Blithering
shtick.
Idiot.
Nah, I mean,
Blithering
it's not the
Idiot is
same
a bottle of
style,
wine.
no.
No, but it's that built for a long time. Blithering Idiot had that alcohol up front that just ruined it for me.
Yeah,
They've
you
done a
know,
lot better.
put it.
Weyerbacher's got awesome with it, but
I'm kind of middle of the road with this in spoon. I actually like it.
I have to admit that when I first saw this thing, I didn't realize it was an ape. I thought it said swamp ass.
Swamp, Florida beer swamp ass. I actually like it.
What?
If I was to sip this,
No.
like a Dogfish 120,
I would say this
and
actually
again,
tastes like
I'm not
barley
comparing
wine.
Dogfish 120 to Swamp Ape from Florida Beer. No way, I'm not.
You
But
want
it's the
to call
only
it swamp ass.
Swamp
Admit
Ass.
it.
It's the only comparison I can give to this beer because it is a 10%, you know, five hop, you know, 85 IBU beer. I don't know, man. This is a tough call for me. I like it. I want to hate it, but I can't.
I'll tell you one thing, it's making me feel warm and happy.
Oh yeah, this will definitely fuck you up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about the New Belgium one earlier, the Ranger. This is definitely not an IPA I would give to a beginner.
No.
They would choke on this. I mean, I think it's even a little bit more... It's got a malty, boozy character to it. Would you agree? And there's a lot of hops in there, don't get me wrong. I mean, that's evident. But I get malt and alcohol on the finish.
Oh, man.
It's very cloying.
You can probably drink a lot of these. I can't.
No? See, I like it. I like those harsh beers. But not harsh in a bad way. I like complex beers. Like, you know, beers
you can't
with
say harsh. You can't know, say it's I not know. Harsh in a bad
I'm having a really hard time describing this beer, dude. A really, really rough time. I like it. It's good. But I also get what other people are saying. It's boozy. It is. It's hoppy. It is. I just think maybe it's just not balanced well enough, you know?
I think that's my issue with it, is it's not balanced for me.
Yeah. You know right away, that's a boozy-ass beer.
Yeah.
If you want to know what a boozy IPA tastes like, get some Swamp Ape.
Oh.
But again, I don't want to detract from that, because I actually kind of like it. This is an IPA, one of them heavy-ass IPAs that I would just sip on.
My ears are warm.
Swamp Ape makes me burn inside.
And I have a fan on.
Damn.
This isn't bad.
It's a sipper. I'm way more impressed than I thought I would be. How's that?
Okay, that works.
But again, you know, Florida beer, kudos to you, because you have my palate thoroughly confused. I like it, but there's something about it that's not quite... I mean, it's not a perfect beer. You know what I mean? If you're going to put 5 hops in it and make it 10%, that booziness should be masked a little bit more, in my opinion. And it's not. However, with that said, I still like the beer. Do I love it?
I'm now, warming up to it, but...
And if this, you know, if I was local and, you know, this was available all the time, I would get this beer. But, you know, I wouldn't seek it out outside of Florida, that's for sure. But again, I don't know, man. I like it. I have to say I like it.
It drinks way too much like a barley wine for me.
Yeah, and I think fans, I was just going to say that, dude. Wow. I think fans of barley wines would actually like it because it has that maltiness to it, you know? I think you're spot on by saying that. I really do.
I think if you're a fan of barley wines, you'll probably like this.
Yeah.
It reminds me too much of a barley wine,
but
actually.
I think that's why I like this beer so much, Spoon, because it confuses the shit out of me. It tastes like a barley wine, but it's an IPA, but it's boozy. I don't know where to land with this one.
It's so
just
confusing.
Odd, man. Yeah.
But my beer's not supposed to confuse me.
These guys are out of Melbourne, Florida. It's they're 2500 South Harbor City Boulevard in Melbourne, Florida, where my family was, so they got me the beer. But, yeah, if you're ever in Melbourne, check it out. This is the only beer I've tried from them. I would like to try more. So, hey, Melbourne, you know, if you're listening to this, send us some beer. We'll review the rest of them. Final verdict on that, Spoon? Do you hate it?
No, I know. I don't. I definitely don't hate it.
How about a better description? Are you disappointed in it?
It's.
How about not for you? Is that the right way to say it?
Well, no. I'm trying to think of the way to describe this. Is it's not what I expected. Like when I hear Imperial,
it's more
IPA
than I expected. So I think that's why I'm kind of liking it. I expected gimmicky, stupid, and I got more than that. So I'm happy. And the more I drink it, the more I like it.
I'm starting to warm up to it.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, dude, perfect way to say that. As mine warms up, I lose that booziness a bit. I'm getting more of the hops as it warms up, more than the booze. So I think if you drink this cold, don't. You can, whatever. But I think it'll be better if you let it warm up a bit. Damn.
Yeah, it's, wow.
I like it. I would almost call this, God forgive me, I'm going to say this on the air. I'm going to get killed for this. It's like Dogfish 120 Junior.
I can see that.
Okay, thank you.
And I will tell you why. As it's warming up, and besides the fact it's half the alcohol of a Dogfish 120 minute.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of my factoring in on that, sure.
But with the 120 minute, you were always able to get a little essence of grapes out of it. Like, it was more like a fine wine.
Yeah, that was because of the shitload of hops in that damn thing.
Yeah. This, once this started to warm up, because I have it sitting here in my Dogfish Head glass. As it's warming up, I'm getting that, I'm starting to pick up different flavors.
Yep, you know, a little more esters in there, yeah.
You don't want to drink this cold like the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, no one wants that,
actually,
dude.
Actually, you don't want to drink any beer cold like the Rocky Mountains, unless
to me,
it's water.
Though, the aroma to me still smells boozy as hell. But so does the 120, so... And again, why am I comparing the two? I shouldn't be. I mean, they're worlds apart, but it's the only other beer I can compare this one to, I think is my problem. I like it. I am a fan, Spoon.
You know, I have to bitch.
Oh, please do.
It's not about the beer. When we started the show, I said I was Instagramming. Why the hell don't the pictures that I take look as awesome online as they do on my phone?
Oh, I know.
I'm just looking at this now. I'm like, I took this great-ass picture. It looks kick-ass on my phone.
Oh, and by the way, Spoon,
I'm like, this is ugly.
If I could have a bitch, and maybe it's just my stupidity
or
my lack of knowledge on Instagram, everybody will actually hear me doing the Instagram photos for the show tonight because you'll hear that damn camera click. I haven't heard yours, Spoon. I have not heard yours at all.
It's because I have my volume down.
I don't know if you could actually... Is there a way to turn that off? I have no idea.
No.
That would be nice.
Instagram is there's no way to turn it off. So if I'm trying to, like, be a creeper on a girl...
If you're trying to do an upskirt with Instagram, yeah, you can't do that, right?
It's well, in general, the click on my phone isn't that loud.
Oh, mine is. Mine's hella loud.
But I don't like that I can't turn it off.
Yeah.
Even when it's on vibrate, it still does that.
Yep. No, that's annoying. Very annoying.
Well, I just noticed by looking at all the bottles lined up together like this, that the New Belgium actually has more beer in it than the next two that we're about to discuss.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I think, from here on in, we're all Florida at this point. So
we are. And one person who loves Florida is a fine elder gentleman who's called into the Drunk Dial hotline.
Oh, my. Which one is that?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our first celebrity listener. Our first celebrity fan. I'm not quite sure why he listens to us. I just know that he does. And I'm still quite amazed that that he calls in, or that he can actually work a telephone.
Or cell phone, I guess. Or he knows our show.
Or somebody actually just helped him out with it. Ladies and gentlemen, making his Should I Drink That Drunk Dial Hotline
debut.
Inaugural appearance. Yeah, his debut. And I laugh thinking about this ever since this call first came in. I'd like to present 6-time NBA All-Star and 3-time All-NBA second team member, Mr. Sean Kemp.
What's up, motherfuckers? This is Sean Kemp calling to you straight from the Mr. Liquid Bread hotline and studio and all that other fucking shit that they do with video cameras and lights and all camera action shit. I just want to let you know that I like your beer reviews. I wish you had some more titties in there because I like the big, fat fucking areolas on those big-ass titties, shaking them up and down. Wish some of that was on your beer reviews. And I really wish you had some kind of mascot, like maybe a I don't know, Gary Payton or something like that, the glove that I used to play with in Seattle, because he fucking, oh, his hands were fucking like, they were like Velcro, motherfucker. He would get all the bitches. That's how I made all my babies. I loved it. Anyways, when you're out and about, make sure you drink Colt 45, like Billy D, because he knows how to get the bitches and have babies later.
Bet you never thought you'd hear an NBA all-star on our show.
Should I drink that.com? We are famous, bitches.
He has also left us a couple other drunk dials, but that's one of our favorite ones. That was actually his first. We have a few others that we'll post online, but it's...
And by the way, he did tell us, you know, if you're going to put this on the air, he doesn't want any, you know, autographs, nothing like that. So don't pimp us. Don't, you know, don't Facebook us or email us or Twitter us about getting his autograph, because he won't do it.
And the funny thing is, if people even watch the NBA, they might know who he is.
Good point.
Now, back in the early, mid-90s or whatever, I was a Sean Kemp fan. Everybody was, I think. Because he's crazy insane.
He's crazy. He's crazy like that. All right, Spoon. So we tackled one beer from my family from Florida, and the old Swamp Ape. Which, you know, that's a tough one for me. But, you know, overall, by the time I finish that glass, I like it. I'm going to give it a thumbs up, if you will.
Well, I'll tell you what. Once it actually warmed up for me, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, if you drink it cold, I don't think you're going to get what you want out of that beer.
And I actually had it sitting out for a little bit before I opened it, and it was still a little cold. But once that warmed up, it was actually really good. So I'm going to have to give that thing a thumbs up, too.
Yeah, I agree, man.
I sat here and chilled with it a little bit, and it's a good sipper.
You know, it's got that gimmicky name, gimmicky label, you know, which made me expect less. But I'm pretty happy with it, man. So kudos to Florida Beer for that one. And you know, like I said, hey, guys, if you're listening, I'd like to try more. So let's talk.
But these final two, I've been waiting to get to because I've heard so much about this brewery that I've been dying to try it. So please tell us.
I think we've talked about this before, Spoon. I've had one of their Bomber Bottle series, you know, the cigar series, in the past, but it's been so long ago, you know, I knew it was good, but I couldn't tell you about it. So I'm really excited to get these as well. And, you know, thanks to my family again for thinking of me when they're out of state. God bless them.
Okay, so what are we drinking?
Cigar City Brewing, baby. They are probably the number one, at least in my opinion, if you think craft beer from Florida. Everybody says Cigar City.
Right.
You know, that at least in my experience. But they're probably the most well-known down there. Right now we're going to do and you know, I may butcher this, may not. Cigar City Brewing is High Lie IPA.
It is a crazy ass sport.
Yeah. The fastest sport in the world. It's basically a sport involving a ball bounced off a wall. It's kind of like racquetball, but I think me and Spoon were talking about this earlier, and I called it racquetball on crack.
That's the best way to explain it, especially after I did the Wikipedia to find out more about it.
Zesta punta.
And once I read about it, I'm like, oh, that's what it's called. So I've actually seen it before. Mm-hmm. I just never knew what it was called.
Yeah, it's a wicked racquetball kind of sport, if you want to compare it to that. I mean, it was a big thing in Florida back in the day. Now it's not so much. And I think that's why kind of Cigar City Brewing kind of wanted to pay homage to that. High Lie. It's a game native to the Basque region, if I want to pronounce that incorrectly. Basque region, Basque, whatever. A region of Spain. Played on a court called a fronton. I mean, they basically catch a ball using a curved mitt. Yeah, it's that big long mitt. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but that
looks
damn
like
ball.
A claw.
Oh, dude, it travels. The ball travels up to like 188 miles an hour, and I think the record was 206.
Jesus, I can't imagine a ball coming at me that fast.
You know, the Spanish sense of humor. I mean, the game was dubbed the Merry Game, and it pours a copper in color with notes of citrus and tropical fruit in the aroma, which I do get that. I have mine poured.
Oh, yeah, definitely
very
citrus.
Very upfront citrus, I bet, on the flavor. I bet you're going to get upfront citrus, just in my guess.
Oh, yeah.
I bet, you know, a little hint of caramel, some tropical fruit hop notes in the finish. What do you think?
Very dry.
Wow, that does have a dry finish.
I
get the citrus, but yeah, that's a very dry finish.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we had the Ranger IPA earlier. I mean, these are two different animals, so
I'm
not going to compare one to the other.
Yeah, this is completely dry. Wow, this is.
But I don't think it's a bad thing, do you?
Mm-mm.
It's just a different take on it on an IPA.
It's just, and that's the thing with IPAs that people are just getting into them need to realize too is that you're going to go from, you know, the floral, caramel, like malty, to like really dry. It's like a wine. You know, you can have a sweet one, or you can have a really dry one.
Just think of it. One of like these things is not like the other.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It does have a very dry finish. I mean, I get that as well.
Actually, you know what this reminds me of is a less tame version of the Imperial Pils from Sam Adams.
Really?
Just because that thing was such a hop bomb and just like
dry finish
and bitter and very dry. This is it's a tamer version of it, but it's drinkable. It's good.
And it comes in at 7.5% ABV. I don't know what the IBUs are on this, but they got to be pretty damn high. But I mean, again, it's a great IPA, a little bit drier than the one from New Belgium that we tried earlier, but not to take away from one or the other. It's just a different IPA from a different brewer, man.
Yeah, it is very dry. It's got a slight malt taste.
Yeah,
to it.
I get a lot of hops out of this. I think the hops are more prominent on this one, Spoon, than the Ranger IPA was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're in-your-face hops. And again, not a bad thing. But, yeah, this one's... See, now I'm comparing one to the other, and I shouldn't be, but it does have a lot drier finish. You're absolutely spot on with that.
I mean, I would take the just because of my own personal taste, I would take the Ranger over this one. But this isn't a bad IPA.
Oh, no, not at all. They're both great.
If you like the dry IPAs...
Two different takes on it, yep.
Way to go. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the way to go.
It is very bitter.
Ooh.
But again, you know, it sounds negative, and I think our fans know by now that I think we've said it enough. Some of the descriptions that we say may sound negative, but it's actually a plus. So if you're local, check it out, and we'll post links, and you can get there through us.
So final thoughts on this beer?
I'm kind of biased with the Ranger IPA. I don't want to compare the two. I know that's not fair. I love it. It's a little drier than I expected on the finish,
mm-hmm.
but not in a bad way. It's just a different take on an IPA. That's all. How about
that's
you?
A way to put it.
Do you agree, Spoon?
I do. I pretty much agree with you. This is very dry, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's.
And we don't say dry in a bad way. It's just a characteristics of, you know, the hops and how they brew it.
I dig it. I would definitely drink it again.
Oh yeah! Oh hell yeah!
It's a great beer. You'd absolutely try it.
Yep.
Especially if you're getting into IPAs, this is a great way to, you know, like I said, put the Ranger and put this next to each other, and you'll get two great IPAs, but with totally different characteristics to them.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great way to put that, Spoon. I mean, if you want a different aspect of what an IPA can be, that's a great example of it. One mm-hmm. is drier than the other. And it doesn't take away from either one or the other. It's just a different take on that IPA style, which I love. If everybody made the same IPA, I wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's why it's good. Yeah.
And on that note, you know what it's time for.
Attention campers, it's now the final beer of the evening.
So ladies and gentlemen, we are at the final beer of the evening.
And dude, and this is the one I'm really looking forward to. I mean... Yeah, don't get me wrong. The Hi-Li, great. Great beer. However, I'm kind of a cigar guy. Not a huge one. I don't smoke them all the time. But when I do, I enjoy them immensely. And Cigar City Brewing, obviously, because of their name, because of their, you know, reputation, their background, they do a lot of like cigar-themed beers.
Which is perfectly fine.
Oh, my God, yes. You know, their bigger bottle series are more prominent to that, but they do a 12-ounce brown ale And the one we're doing now is called the Cigar City Brewing Maduro. And Maduro is a type of cigar. Maduro Brown Ale. It comes in at about 5.5%. IBUs are 25, so it's not really hoppy. Ooh, look. And I have the original Gravity is 14.
Ooh.
I'll let y'all, you homebrew snobs, figure that one out. It's 5.5%. I said it earlier. And the SRMs are about 24. And we mentioned SRMs earlier. 24 is a bit light in color. So, but I'm really looking forward to this one, man. I've been waiting to open this one up since my family brought it back to me. It's an Northern English style brown ale with some American affections, as they put it.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know what that means, but it's higher in alcohol than the Commish. The Commish. A little higher in alcohol than the common English brown ale, and it features flaked oats. It's going to kind of give it a creaminess to it, you know, if you will. That silky body, I guess you could describe it as. And it kind of works to mesh with the roasted, toasted, and chocolate components together in the complex malt profile. And what they were going for is they were trying to get a brown ale that would go great with a cigar. And I really wish I had a cigar right now during this show, Spoon.
All right, well, cheers.
Full-flavored yet approachable. Sessionable brown ale that pairs well with a mild to medium cigar. I'm still pouring mine, so give me your verdict.
I could totally picture this with a cigar.
That's what I was hoping for.
It's light-bodied.
Oh, my God, with a cigar, this would be amazing. And dude,
a little roasty to it.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in your head, and you know how that works, that power of suggestion with beers.
And since I'm listening to you through headphones.
Toffee. Do you get toffee?
No.
Really?
I'm not getting toffee.
All right, take another drink and then think toffee. I think you'll get toffee, damn it.
You tell me to think toffee, of course.
Yeah,
I will.
That, I'm trying to prove a point here. A little hint of espresso, but I get toffee.
I'm still not getting toffee out of it.
Wow.
But it's very...
It's like biting into a score bar for me. Or a Heath.
This is, this is totally a session beer.
Oh, yeah.
I would absolutely... You know what? In fact, I would go to, like, Executive Cigars on the north side.
How about this? Let me put another idea in your head. Roasted peanuts.
I get
that kind of hint of roasted peanuts, and maybe it's that.
Well, I get the I get the hint of roasted.
Intermingling notes of chocolate, espresso with roasted peanuts in the finish.
I kind of get the espresso. I don't get roasted peanuts.
No. Though.
But that it's very delicious. Wow,
I love this beer. Yeah, dude.
This is.
I would say all the beers we tried tonight, the Maduro, my favorite, hands down, my favorite.
It's not hands down my favorite, but this might be one of my new favorite session beers.
Oh, dude, I love this beer.
Because this is very good. This is like one of those things that you have when you know, you don't want to get it's session beer, so you're not planning on getting tuned up, but
right.
I could sit down with a couple of these.
I think the big elephant in the room, aside from session beers, is that damn Florida beer Swamp Ape.
Yeah. My God.
Hey, we've had a lot of really decent session beers tonight, but that Swamp Ape, holy shit. But you know our feelings on that already. But, you know, hey, Spoon, you're exactly right. The Maduro Brown Ale, the 1554 from New Belgium and the Ranger, they're great session beers that have that full flavor to them, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, so I think that was it's a pretty fair recap of the beers that we've had.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And
I would say, though, honestly, if I had to pick one, I know we're doing different styles, but that Maduro Brown Ale, I'm a huge fan of.
It's good. I like it.
It's complex yet sessionable. You know, complex in the flavor, where you get different notes from it every time. But, you know, it's a beer you can enjoy and enjoy several of them in one evening without, you know, getting stupefied.
And you know what? I have a humidor here, and I'm half tempted to go get a cigar out of it, but I'm not.
Damn, I didn't know you had a humidor, dude.
Yeah, I've had a humidor for years.
Good man. I've been sitting on a cigar from Iraq for a long time, but I hate to smoke it.
Yeah, this is definitely very, very pleasurable.
Oh, it is.
Session beer.
I mean, yeah, it's a sipper, like a high alcohol barley wine kind of thing should be, because of the. But it's not. It won't get you hammered, and you can enjoy it, which is a great thing. Mm, damn, that's good.
So, hey, before we cut out.
Yes. It is the last beer, the final beer of the evening.
Yes, so I want to give a quick shout-out to You Know Too Much
on Twitter. You know what, though? Screw him. He knows too much.
He does. He does. He knows way too much.
He's a know-it-all. Dave Austin, suck it.
But, hey, I want to give a quick shout-out to our friends over at the Erie Better Beer Bureau on Twitter. You can find them at Erie Better Beer. You guys have known that Erie's got like a blooming craft beer.
They do presence. Indeed.
We've got Erie Brewing up there. We've got Lavery. We've got.
No, we don't have Lavery. We have Lavery.
Lavery. I always had that.
A subtle eye.
We've got Lavery. We've got Erie Brewing. You know, Brew Erie. All those great places up there. And they actually have a really kick-ass homebrewing club called Hazard.
Hazard, yeah.
The Erie Better Beer Bureau. Wow, that's a tongue twister and a half.
Erie Better Beer Bureau.
Basically, their website.
Dude, it's actually kind of cool to say, hey, I'm with the EBB.
Well, they have shirts and stuff, too. And they're going to be at the Cleveland International Beer Festival this weekend. But these guys basically talk about what's going on in the craft beer scene in Erie, which is pretty cool. That there's enough going on up there now that there's a scene. There's a place to go to for all your information. So definitely check those guys out. They have pretty good posts.
Yeah.
And the picture on the picture that they have, their group photo, was taken last year at Beer on the Bay. And if you look really close, you can kind of see me in the background because they took the picture over by our booth.
Oh, nice. I did not make it last year, but I plan on making it this year, man.
And their website is eriebetterbeer.com.
Yeah, so check them out. And if you want like Beer on the Bay information, they'll have that as well.
It's Beer on the Bay also this year is July 28th. We're going to be talking about We're talking more about that in a future episode.
Hell yeah.
And stuff like that.
Ooh, and before we go, too, I do want to say that, you know, Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week went off with a bang this year.
Oh,
it was very successful.
Awesome.
I had a blast setting a lot of things up. But I do want to say, though, for next year, 2013, Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week, April 19th through the 27th.
Yes, mark your calendars
already. Put that
already
on your fucking calendar now, you fat bearded bitches.
I've talked to a couple business owners, and they said their sales did jump considerably during Craft Beer Week, which is an awesome thing.
It's a great awesome thing, man. Spreading the word, and I love that.
Well, since I was doing a lot with the social media and getting us a badge on Untappd for that whole thing. We had there was a ton of check-ins for there was quite a few badges that were handed out.
That's good, man. I was going to ask you about the whole Untappd thing because you know, I hate to say
I know
it, man,
your stance on it,
but it's my own personal thing. So
it was cool to see how many people were checking in, and also what really amazed me is the venues that we think are like really popular weren't the most popular checked-in places. We'll have all these numbers once we have to report them and everything to the Craft Beer Alliance and all that. But there's a lot of places that you would not expect to be popular.
They were because of Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, and it was really good to see. So it definitely worked for the economy, and it did pump a lot of more dollars into the Pittsburgh area.
Sure.
So we appreciate it. Thank you.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, it's a great event. All right, man. Dude, final thoughts, man. Let me roll it real quick. Ranger IPA.
Love it.
New Belgium, 1554.
Roasty, chocolatey, love it.
Agreed. Florida Beer Swamp Ape.
Kick me in the ass. That's a party and a sipper.
Maduro Brown Ale.
Great with the cigar. I would absolutely pair it with
that. I love this beer. I am going to milk the shit out of this one. Happy 60th anniversary once again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dude, it's been a great show. We've had amazing beers.
Great
that,
beers.
That I probably won't get again anytime soon. So I'm very proud of this episode. And I love when we get beers that, you know, that are kind of out of reach for us. And, dude, cheers, man.
Cheers. For shouldidrinkthat.com, this is the most reverend Father Spoon.
This has been Sick Puppy.
Where even if it's crap,
we drink it.
So you don't have to.
That's right, bitches. Eat a bullet.
Bitches.